No matter how impressive our resume may be, it will never impress God.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. I have the joy down in my heart. How many of us remember singing that little song as youngsters in Sunday school? Yet for some, the experiences of life may not have always turned out to be so encouraging. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant begins a short series on the Beatitudes, offering 8 keys to the blessed life promised by Jesus in his pivotal Sermon on the Mount. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of How Can I Discover and Live a Blessed Life, Part 1.
On July 16th, 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr. was killed when the plane he was piloting crashed into the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts. How many of you remember that day? The National Transportation Safety Board concluded that the crash was caused by the disorientation he experienced as a result of the hazy conditions he was flying in. Now, you may not realize that, although the plane had an instrument panel, that night Kennedy chose to fly the plane by relying on his gut feelings. A lot of pilots, you know, you can fly. You don't always, particularly if you're not going far. He decided he was going to fly by his gut feelings. And because of the haze, when he thought he was going up, he was actually going down. And by the time he realized what was happening, it was too late, for the plane had fallen into what they call a death spiral, and he was unable to turn it around. Within minutes, John Kennedy Jr., his wife Carolyn Bessette, and her sister Lauren were all dead. There's a lesson for us in that sad story. For since heaven is our destination, it's important that we base our lives on the Word of God and seek His guidance for our lives rather than trying to figure it out by ourselves. Do you know there are people who are trying to wing it? They're trying to figure it out by themselves. But sadly, that is no way to go. And so today, as we begin a 2-part message on the Beatitudes, I think it's the first I've ever spoken on the Beatitudes. Today, as we begin a 2-part message on the Beatitudes, I pray that our hearts will be submitted to the Spirit of God as He reveals to us the pathway to living a blessed life. This text has significant information about how we can live a blessed life. How many want to live a blessed life? It's right here. God has given us the ingredients. Young people, older one, if you want to live a blessed life, make sure you stay focused today. How can I discover and live a blessed life is our theme for today. But the first thing I want to talk about, I want to answer this question: what are the Beatitudes? We hear that word, the Beatitudes. So what are the Beatitudes? Here's something you may want to add to your notes. In Matthew chapter 5, before Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount, he gave his disciples 8 very important Beatitudes. And even if you think you already know them, one of the problems sometimes when you're preaching on a passage people think they know, they make the mistake of thinking they know what you're going to say, okay? But I'm going to suggest that you stay focused today, for write this. In the 8 Beatitudes in Matthew 5, Jesus shared with us how we can discover and live a blessed life. The word beatitude comes from a Latin word that means blessed. And although the word beatitude is not in the passage, the word blessed is used 8 times. So write this down. The Beatitudes describe God's perspective on what the blessed life looks like and provide a description of the ideal disciple. In these Beatitudes, God is going to reveal to us what the blessed life looks like and is going to challenge us and direct us as to how we can live the blessed life. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 3, reads as follows. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We'll stop there because that's about the distance we're going to go today. The word translated blessed in these verses is the Greek word makarios. Makarios. And you'll find that Jesus used this Greek word 8 times in this text as he describes the blessed life. So write this in your notes. Makarios is the Greek word translated blessed or happy in Matthew 5, and its meaning goes far deeper than superficial happiness. For what Jesus described is a state of well-being that brings joy deep down in our soul. Amen? This is the secret. God is giving us the secret, not just to be happy, but to have a joy deep down in our soul. I still remember in Sunday school. Who can think of a song from Sunday school that we used to sing about joy? Anybody? The one I jumped into my mind, I've got what? The joy, joy, joy. Help me, somebody. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Down in my heart, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Oh, we know the song. You know the song. But here's the question. Are you really experiencing the joy and blessedness Jesus spoke about in this text and what that song describes? Are you really, come on now, young lady, young man, older person, are you really experiencing the joy deep down in your heart? Or are you just barely making it? Are you really experiencing the blessed life? Since these Beatitudes show us the secret to discovering and living the blessed life, in this two-part message, we'll be taking a careful look at each of these 8 very important Beatitudes. So let's get started with the first one, these 8 keys to a blessed life. Here's the first Beatitude to add to your notes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I can still remember the passion and power of Reverend Jesse Jackson as he would tell young people to repeat after him. Can anybody remember what he said? Repeat after me. I am somebody. Anybody remember that? I am somebody, he would say. I may be poor, but I am somebody. I may be on welfare, but I am somebody. I may be uneducated, but I am somebody. You know, some people had a problem with it, but I must tell you, I think it's a message many people still need to hear, because sadly we're in a society where some people don't seem to think they are somebody. Perhaps you're listening to me, you're right here, or you're watching online, and somehow you are missing that you are somebody. The world has beaten you up so badly that you're missing that you are somebody. But you are somebody because you are made in the image of God. Amen? You're not only somebody because you're made in the image of God. You are somebody because Jesus loves you and cares so much about you that he died for you. Yes, I am somebody. And I tell you, once you come not only to know that he died for you, once you come to receive Jesus as your Savior, you recognize you really are somebody because you're a child of the King. Are you a child of the King? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Is he living in your life and in your heart? Some of you are young and you're still flitting around. You're still trying to find your footing in life. You're still trying to find your path forward. Well, today you can find your path forward as you submit your life to Jesus. And let him help you to understand what life is all about. Amen. But since we are so special to God, have you ever wondered why Jesus began the Beatitudes by telling us, blessed are the poor in spirit? I believe the reason, part of the reason, is because, what do you think is one of the biggest problems we have in the world today? Oh, you said it. I don't even have to preach the message. You can help me along with this. I believe part of the reason is because pride is one of the most destructive things in the world. So add this to your notes. To be poor in spirit is the opposite of pride. Self-praise and self-promotion and an acknowledgement of our spiritual bankruptcy before God. No matter how impressive our resume may be, now don't get me wrong, just because I'm saying this don't mean you shouldn't try to get a good resume. Amen? You better go to school. Sometimes I try to get some of these young men who are sitting on the bench like a log, not here, but it won't get up and get moving. You can't just drift along through life. It's okay to have a good resume, but when that resume is good, don't let it make you feel you're better than anybody else, because all of us men, we put on our pants the same way. No matter how impressive our resume may be, it will never impress God. So if you want to enjoy a truly blessed life, Jesus is telling us, if we want to enjoy a truly blessed life, the secret is to become poor in spirit. That means we must acknowledge that we are sinners and that without God we are spiritually bankrupt. I'm going to come back to that word, spiritually bankrupt, that phrase, because that is such an important phrase, because sometimes even those of us who are Christians, after a while we don't recognize how spiritually bankrupt we are without God. Are you poor in spirit? Or do you feel you're a self-made man? Turn in your Bible to John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. And I'm going to pick up reading at verse number 22. After these things, John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 22. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John, this is John the Baptist. John the Baptist was also baptizing in Enon near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown in prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came unto John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. Now, just to make sure you understand what's going on here, Jesus was not doing the baptizing himself, as other passage will tell you, but Jesus' disciples were also baptizing. And can you imagine, John the Baptist's disciples are now bent out of shape because Jesus' disciples are baptizing and people are coming. There was a time where all the crowds were flocking John the Baptist. Now the crowds are flocking where Jesus is, and these disciples are bent out of shape. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. Here is a verse that I have underlined in my Bible. He, what? He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. Jesus told us there is no human born on earth that was greater than John the Baptist. Other than the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no man born that was as great as John the Baptist. But notice the focus of John the Baptist's life. He must increase, but I must decrease. Some of you know the song, there must be a little more of Jesus. And what? A little less of me. A little more of I think we need to change that song. Because then it's not just a little more of Jesus and a little less of me. There's got to be a much more of Jesus, amen? And much less of me. And my friend, if we really want to live a blessed life, it's amazing that Jesus starts his teaching. He's starting his teaching. He's just about to give the Sermon on the Mount where he starts his teaching. And the very first thing he tells us, blessed are the poor in spirit. It starts by my humbling myself so that he might increase and that I might decrease. It's not about me. May God help us this morning that we might humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, that he might lift us up. You know, there are some individuals who are still not saved because they think they can do this on their own. Perhaps you're here and you're one of those who figure, I can do this on my own. So far, you've made a mess. But you're still holding on to doing it your way. And today God is speaking to you and he's saying to you, it's time. It's time to realize that you must decrease so that I might increase, that you might be poor in spirit, and so that I might lead you and help you. Amen. No matter our status in life, we must recognize our spiritual poverty before we come to God and receive his salvation. The poor in spirit are blessed. But what blessings? Can I give you, just before I move on, just two of the big blessings that the poor in spirit receive? He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Just two quick ones to add to your notes. We have abundant life on earth. Add that to your notes. We have abundant life on earth. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have what? That you might have life.
and that you might have it more abundantly. Thank God there is abundant life. Listen, abundant life is not just, sometimes people think abundant life means we're going to live forever. And aren't you glad you're going to live forever in heaven with Jesus? Those of us who are saved, we're going to live forever in heaven with Jesus. Amen. But abundant life is not just plenty life, not just long life. Abundant life is a quality of life. Amen. Oh my hallelujah, Jesus, when Jesus comes, what an incredible joy he brings to our soul. And so the reason why this is such an incredible life is because Jesus is in my life, and he can turn the darkness into light, and he can give us joy bubbling over, joy bubbling over. In fact, they used to sing a song like that. I can't remember what the song says, but I know there was a song about bubbling over, bubbling over. You know that one? I got it. It says, bubbling over, bubbling over. My cup is full and running over. It's running over, not bubbling over. Running over, running over. My cup is full and running over. Hallelujah! Since the Lord saved me, I am happy as can be. And my friend, my cup is full and running over. And I want to ask you, is your cup full and is it running over? Is the joy of the Lord bubbling up in your heart and in your life? Hallelujah. He gives us abundant life on earth. But here's the second thing. He gives us eternal life with God in heaven. What is better than that? Somebody help me. What could be better than that? To have an incredible life of joy on earth. An eternal life in heaven. No. I don't want to be like the preachers who make it sound that one, this bubbling over life on earth is just good old easy. There are going to be some tough days. And I'm glad. You know, sometimes for the first umpteen years of my life, I was never sick. I am so glad that the Lord has helped me to experience some of the pain so many have experienced. It makes a difference in your life, you know. It's easy to preach when you've never been sick in your life. But it is, listen, it's for real, it's for real. I can share the challenges you have faced. I've been there, and I'm able to say that even in the midst of challenges, my cup was full and bubbling over, for Jesus makes a difference. I'm going to encourage you today, those of you young people, there's some young people here, I don't know if you're safe. There's some older people, there's some who have gone off the path, and today Jesus is calling you. He's coming back, calling you to a full surrender. And it is my prayer that you will do just that. Abundant life on earth and eternal life in heaven. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's a blessing in life and a blessing in heaven.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.